Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey everybody, this is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're so glad that you've joined us. Today we're bringing our series called Talking About Stuff That Matters to a close. In this series, Rick's looked into the scriptures and unpacked what it means to live in community, have real conversation about what matters most, and face discouragement with courage and faith. It's honest and hopeful. So please stay tuned. You won't want to miss a second. And now the final part of a message called When You're Harassed and Bullied.
Number four, when you have a bully in your life, respond positively. Respond positively. This is the faith step. You say, well, Rick, how in the world do I respond positively? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you be positive. You don't overcome evil with more evil. You don't fight darkness with darkness. You fight darkness with light. You fight hatred with love. You fight unkindness with kindness. You don't be overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good. The next verse even gets a little bit more specific. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, love your enemies. Oh, come on. Love your enemies and pray for them. Really? Pray for those who persecute you? Is that easy? No. Is it unusual? Yes. Is it a choice? Yes. It is your choice. You can choose. Why? Because I'm going to be better than the bully. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to show love to them. And I'm not going to be as bad as them. I'm not going to be equal to them. I'm not going to return evil for evil or hatred for hatred. Now, I do need to warn you that the more positive you are, the more negative people in this world are going to dislike you. Jesus was the most positive person who ever lived, and they nailed him to a cross. The more positive you are, the more negative people, it just grates on them that you are positive. You're a person of faith. You're a person of love. How do I do that? How do I return good for evil? Well, number five, here's the next step. Refocus on what God says. Refocus on what God says this means. What does the harassment in your life, what does the persecution in your life, what does the bullying in your life, what does this opposition in your life really mean? Well, look at what the Bible says it means. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Why? Because it means God's Spirit rests on you. 1 Peter 4:14 says that when I am harassed for being a Christian, it means that God's Spirit can be seen in my life. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If I don't ever have any harassment or any persecution or any opposition in my life, it means I'm not living godly. Does anybody even know you're a Christian? If people react to Christ in your life, it means that God's Spirit can be seen in you. That's a good thing. God's Spirit can be seen in me. Let me tell you another thing it means. Acts 5:41. The apostles were full of joy that God considered them worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' name. The second thing the Bible says, when I'm harassed and I'm bullied and I'm put down and I'm opposed, it means God can trust me. Notice the apostles were full of joy that God considered them worthy. He said, they can handle this. God will never put more on you than he puts in you to bear it up. He's growing your character. It means that God can trust you. If God can trust you, well, that means you're still a baby, spiritual baby. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this. These troubles, you know, the problems we're facing on a day-to-day basis, and the people who are coming against us, opposition, these troubles won't last very long. Yet this time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us. How long? Forever and ever. Here's the third thing it means. It means not only is God's Spirit in me, not only does people see God's Spirit in me and that he can trust me, it means God is going to bless me. So he says there, God is going to give you his richest blessings forever and ever because of the trials and the tribulations and the bullying that you stood up to. God is going to bless me. Over and over again in this book, we're taught this simple point. The pain is temporary. It's not going to last. But the payoff will last forever. So what do you want more of? Temporary pain or long-term pleasure? You know, you have to maintain an eternal perspective if you're going to deal with the people who are the crazy makers in life. And that leads to this next point. If you're going to have an eternal perspective, the sixth thing you want to do when you're facing a bully is remember your reward. Remember your eternal reward. One of the most beautiful passages is in the Sermon on the Mount. It's called the Beatitudes. And it gives eight ways to be happy. And in the eighth way, the eighth beatitude is Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12. And Jesus promises this. He says this, blessed are you, blessed, circle that, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When you respond correctly to the harassers and the bullies and the oppositions in your life, God says, you're right up there with Moses and Abraham and Elijah and Elisha and all the great prophets of the Bible. He said, great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. You're in good company. You're in God's hall of fame. You need to teach that to your kids, that when they're being harassed for their faith, because they won't go take drugs, or they won't, you know, go get drunk, or they won't go have sex with somebody, that is saying, great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the godly men and women who were before you. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Look at this verse. Since we are God's children, if we share in Christ's suffering, we will also share in his what? Glory. Circle that. Share in his glory. It says, this is an amazing promise, that God says, if you share in Christ's suffering, did Christ suffer abuse on earth? Yes. Harassment on earth? Yes. Bullies on earth? Yes. Opposition? Yes. Criticism? Yes. Were there people who tried to take advantage of Jesus? Yes. Were there people who plotted against him? Yes. And there may be people like that in your school or in your office. But it says, since we are God's children, if we share Christ's suffering, that's the same thing Jesus went through, we will also share in his glory. Do you realize what that means? You're going to share in God's glory for eternity. You are going to share in God's glory in heaven forever and ever, because you put up with harassment and bullying and being put down for your faith when you stand tall for integrity and humility and generosity. What does it mean to share God's glory in heaven? Well, I can't even explain it. It's going to be so glorious. But let me just give you an analogy. Imagine a movie marquee, like where they announce new movies that are coming up. And it says in the marquee, now starring for eternity, Jesus Christ. Co-starring for eternity, your name. Can you imagine that? You're going to share in the glory of God forever and ever and ever. That'll be worth it. And because of those first six things that I just mentioned to you, when you are having harassment for your faith or anything else, but it's Satan's behind it because he's trying to take you down. It may be for your race. It may be for your gender, but he knows you're a Christian. The final step is this. Number seven, remain faithful. Remain faithful. Just keep doing the right thing. You don't need anybody else's approval to be happy. You don't need their opinions. You don't need the clique. You don't need the club. You don't need the popular people. You don't need the bullies. You just keep doing the right thing. You keep persevering in doing what is right. You know, I learned a long time ago that people can laugh at you, but they can't stop you. They have no ability to stop you from believing and acting and doing the right thing. They can laugh at you, but they cannot stop you. 1 Peter chapter 4, 19 says this, "So those who suffer according to God's will." By the way, look at that verse there. Some people think that, well, if I'm suffering, I'm sinning. Oh, no, no, no. Did you realize that some suffering in life is God's will? Those who suffer according to God's will. There are some brands of Christianity think if you're ever sick, you're ever suffering, you must be out of the will of God. Well, that verse right there disproves that point. That the Bible says that sometimes we suffer according to God's will. Some of the times it's God's will for you to be sick. Sometimes it's God's will for you to suffer. Sometimes it's God's will for you to have problems. Why? Because he's more interested in your character than your comfort. And he's more interested in growing you to be like Christ than he is making life easy. So those who suffer according to God's will, what should we do? When the bullies and harassers are out there, we should commit ourselves to their faithful creator and continue to do good. What does that mean? Be faithful. Remain faithful. Commit yourself to your faithful creator and you continue to do good and be faithful. Let me ask you a very personal question. What does it take to stop you from doing the right thing? One person looks kind of sideways. Somebody makes a comment. What does it take you to stop you from living for Christ? You're afraid of a smirk or a smile or a laugh or a giggle? What does it take to stop you from praying in public? Well, what would other people think? Why do you care about what other people think? God is looking for people who cannot be stopped. They cannot be stopped by bullying. They cannot be stopped by harassment. They cannot be stopped by intimidation. They cannot be stopped by put-downs. They cannot be stopped by political correctness. They cannot be stopped by peer pressure. 2 Timothy 3:12 said this, "Everyone who wants to live as God desires in Christ Jesus will be hurt." If you choose not to go along with the crowd at school or with the crowd at work, or with the crowd anywhere else, you can expect to be harassed. You can expect to be ridiculed sometimes. You can expect to be bullied. When a teenager refuses, as I said, to take drugs or to smoke, or they make a commitment to wait until marriage for sex, somebody's not going to like that. You know, this is true with adults just as much as it is with kids. I know a wealthy businessman who literally had it all. I mean, he even had 2 maids, full-time maids, and a limousine. And he became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, started following Jesus, all his values changed. And one day, he was asked by the board of his organization, of his business, to do something unethical at work. And as a Christian, he refused. You know what happened? He was fired. And he was left unemployed. And he couldn't find a job. And he lost so much that he even had to move in with his friend. And it was actually, I followed this story, it was actually a 2-year test of faith before things finally turned around. What do you think's going on in that guy's mind for the 2 years? Because I'm trying to do the right thing, and all of a sudden, I lose everything. I lose all of the physical attributes and accoutrements of wealth. And it was a 2-year test of faith before actually anything turned around. Yet he refused to compromise his integrity. He refused to back down on his witness. And he would not give in to pressure. I asked him, "How in the world did you do that? How did you hold on going from a limo and 2 maids to having to live with a friend? How did you hold on during those 2 years in that test?" And he said, "Rick, I did it by clinging to God's promise in Matthew 19:29. I went and looked it up. Matthew 19:29 says this. Jesus says, "Anyone who has given up houses or lost brothers and sisters or fathers or mothers or children," in other words, even family members turn on you, or you've lost property. He says, if you've lost anything for my sake, you will receive back, notice this, 100 times as much in return, and you will have eternal life. That is a quote of Jesus Christ. Do you believe Jesus Christ? 100 times as much return on your investment. He says, whatever you give up for Christ, you will be rewarded 100 times over plus eternal life. Do you believe that? This is the same. If you don't believe that, then you can't believe that Jesus will save you, because he's the same one. When you consider the results of being faithful to Christ in the midst of persecution, in the midst of harassment, in the midst of being put down, in the midst of bullying, when you consider the results, is the harassment worth it? It's not even a question. Of course it is. Of course it is. I remember reading a quote a long time ago from President Woodrow Wilson, the U.S. president, and he said this, I'd rather temporarily lose with a cause that will ultimately succeed than temporarily succeed with a cause that will ultimately fail. People say, well, you're on the wrong side of history in this issue. It doesn't matter what history says. What doesn't matter is being on the right side of history. What matters is being on the right side. I'd rather temporarily lose for a cause that will ultimately succeed than temporarily succeed with a cause that will ultimately fail. Now, let me wrap this up. Let me close with some personal questions. If it became illegal, for instance, in the United States, and a crime to follow Jesus here, or in your country, in Germany, or in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, or China, or in the Philippines, or anywhere else, if it became illegal and a crime to follow Jesus in your country, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Let me give you another question. When people say insulting things about other Christians, do you wimp out and say nothing? And you don't speak up? You're what I call a Arctic River Christian, frozen at the mouth. When people say insulting things about Christians, you don't. Do you wimp out and say nothing? Do you ever stand up for a brother and sister? Let me phrase it this way. What is your faith costing you? While in much of the world, it's literally costing believers their lives, we have it so easy. We don't have persecution. We might have harassment. We might have political correctness, but we don't have persecution. You're not in danger of being arrested and thrown in jail. What is your faith costing you? And at what cost would you stay faithful to Christ? You see, you're not really ready to live until you have decided what's worth dying for. Jesus said there's a price to be paid for following him. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say that popularity on earth is guaranteed. No, popularity on earth is not guaranteed. He said, people are not going to like you for doing the right thing. But reward in heaven is guaranteed, and it's going to go on and on forever. Jim Elliot once said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. So let me end with just two statements of Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus says this, if you're ashamed of me and my commands, in this godless and sinful generation, I will be ashamed of you when I come back in glory with the holy angels. That is a frightening statement. It's sobering. And Matthew 10, verse 32, but for those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same for them before my Father in heaven. I want that true of you. I want it true of me. God is looking for men and women of courage. Men and women of courage who aren't afraid to publicly identify themselves at school, on the campus, on the soccer field, in the office, in the workspace, in the marketplace, who aren't afraid to publicly identify themselves as followers of Jesus. So let me encourage you to take a risk for Jesus this week. Have the courage to let people know where you stand. Don't be bullied anymore. Be courageous. What risk will you take this week to identify yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ? Maybe you need to start praying before your meals in public in restaurants. That's a statement. Nobody's going to throw you out of their restaurant for that. They might in some countries, but not here. Take your Bible to work with you. Put it on your desk. I dare you to do that. Make a public stand. If you haven't been baptized, that's the first stand you need to take. Your public statement of coming out saying, I'm not ashamed to say I love Jesus Christ. And then let me encourage you to do this. Text a non-believer this week. Somebody doesn't know Jesus. Text them and just say, friend, I'm praying for you. That's all you need to say. Who's going to be upset about that? I'm praying for you. Text a non-believer, I'm praying for you this week. Let me pray for you. Dear Jesus, we've gone through a lot of major issues in this series, and this is another big one. And I pray that today that people will take these seven steps and begin to build the courage and the backbone and the integrity to be willing to stand up in a world that is increasingly getting darker and darker in a culture. Help us to be people of kindness in an unkind world, people of love in an unloving world, people of integrity in a world that practices dishonesty and deceit and deception in every area. And help us to stand firm and speak the truth in love, knowing that great is our reward in heaven. Thank you that you promised that blessed are you when men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You told us, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. We look forward to that reward. I pray for every student, every grade school student, every teenage, junior high and high school student, every college student who've been bullied or harassed for whatever reason, that they will stand firm and realize that you can trust them, that God's Spirit can be seen in them, and that it's only temporary, but the rewards will last forever. Now you pray. Say, Lord, I don't want to be a weak follower of you. I want to be a strong woman of God. I want to be a strong man of God. I don't want to wimp out. I don't want to let society or bullies or anybody else determine what I believe or how I act or how I feel. I want to be a God pleaser, not a person pleaser. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, put your Spirit inside me. I need your strength. I can't do this on your own. I open my life to you, and I humbly ask you to accept me into your family by your grace. I know I need you, and I pray this in your name. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, rick@pastorrick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Wow, such a great message today and every day. Thanks, Pastor Rick. Hey, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son, a daughter, grandchild, perhaps a neighbor, or even a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone, and as they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. So that's why Rick Warren created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. It's filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Rick, and beautiful imagery. This unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life that God has planned for your graduate, and it's going to inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. So please, don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. Be sure to request your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life for Graduates when you give a gift to Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.